Thank you for the introduction. And before I start, I'd like also to just pay my respects to the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet, and pay my respects to the elders, both past and present. It's really great to be back at Murdoch University. It brings back many memories, and I won't confess how long it's been since I was here. It's great on behalf of Fragment to be able to introduce today's discussion following the release of CEDA's latest research looking at the effects of temporary migration. For those of you that may be unaware, Fragment is the world's largest sole practice law firm that specialises in immigration matters. Given our unique specialisation, we often joke we're the largest international law firm that you've never heard of. The focus of CEDA's research, temporary migration visas, represents a significant area of our work and how we assist clients. Last year alone, we assisted clients with lodging over 6,000 temporary work visas, which represents represents over 10% of that entire visa program. In my role as Director of Government Relations for the APAC region, I speak regularly with both clients in Australia and the broader region on government immigration policies and the effect of those policies on their workforce planning and their ability to meet their corporate agendas. Australia is not unique in the region in a shift towards more protectionist policies, and is also facing some of the bigger issues that are facing some other countries in the region, including technology-based disruption, an ageing population, and tackling global skill shortages, for example, that currently with the tech sector. As part of my role, I try to bridge the public-private knowledge gap to educate government on how policies are impacting on corporate interests and advocate to influence positive change. We are fortunate that our regular engagement with the department allows us to put forward examples of the policy gaps, unintended consequences, and other anomalies that the department might be otherwise unaware. At the same time, it's also important in terms of educating companies on the sensitivities at play and the policy objectives core to recent immigration policy. Traditionally, Fragment has worked with corporate clients, many of whom are large and multinational organisations, and we assist them with their global mobility programs. However, as immigration issues have become increasingly more complex, in Australia and in the broader region, Fragment is more frequently assisting smaller companies who need to navigate the constantly changing immigration environment to compliantly fill positions they can't fill with the local labour market. In my introduction of today's discussion, I would like to highlight a number of key issues we are seeing as impacting in the business sector. And in the context of the temporary skills visa programs. I believe this discussion is very timely for Western Australia. In Perth, much of our work is in the oil and gas sector and resources sectors. And we've been hearing from clients that once again, it's becoming more difficult to find the human resources to staff projects. This is caused by a number of factors, including the infrastructure boom currently taking place on the East Coast, which means that West Australian companies this time around cannot so easily rely on interstate migration to fill skill shortages. In addition, we are seeing a change in profile in some of the skill shortage needs. Yes, we are hearing that companies need drillers, engineers, and diesel fitters. But we are also being told that there are new occupations in niche fields relating to robotics, automation, digitalisation in the resources sector, which require a very specific skill set and which cannot be filled from the local labour market. At first glance, the Australian government's innovation agenda and a concerted effort to more successfully compete for global talent would seem aimed squarely at supporting business in securing the talent. However, from a policy perspective, there is an apparent conflict between the facilitation of highly skilled temporary workers and at the same time the recent tightening of skilled occupation lists and the requirements relating to labour market testing. Following the release of the government's population policy, it is also focused on redirecting migrants away from Australia's biggest cities, and predominantly that is Sydney and Melbourne, and to preference regional areas. We can benefit from some of these policies in terms of regional Western Australia, however, cannot catalyse them for the metro area of Perth. This is a very significant report and comes at a critical time. Possibly more so than any time in the past two decades, Australia seems to be at a crossroads in terms of public debate and policy making as it relates to population and migration. At the same time, some contributors to the debate conflate issues of wage stagnation, house prices and congestion on the roads, and indiscriminately blame population growth without objectively analysing the economic data. CEDA's efforts to deliver an objective analysis of this data is therefore essential in informing this debate and providing some much needed awareness and understanding of the temporary migration program to ensure that future policy positions and rhetoric are appropriately challenged. Migration in Australia, as in elsewhere in the world, represents an increasingly sensitive issue. Too often restrictive immigration policies are based on misinformation and pressure from interest groups rather than empirical evidence. The report seeks to increase awareness of the complex relationship between labour mobility and economic and social development, and contributes to a broader understanding of the contribution made by temporary migration to the Australian economy and society. While significant attention in the public discourse is placed on Australia's permanent migration program, much less focus is given to the large numbers of temporary migrants in Australia. This is despite the fact that the annual migration program is now capped at 160,000, and that's down from 190,000, while there are more than 2.3 million people currently in Australia holding some category of temporary visa. These numbers of temporary migrants in Australia have grown significantly over the past decade, and the CEDA research takes a much needed look at the contribution and performance of Australia's temporary visa programs. There are a number of different temporary visa categories discussed in the report, and I'd like to briefly focus on temporary skilled visa programs, facilitating the entry of workers in Australia to address skill shortages. In other words, the TSS visa, or what was formerly known as the 457. As the report points out, recent experience demonstrates the highly cyclical nature of the labour market in Australia, and the WA resources sector is the perfect case study. And illustrates why Australia needs a temporary skilled visa program. This program seeks to address skill shortages, but in a way that does not undermine local labour market or present a barrier to suitably qualified Australians securing these jobs. The report very clearly illustrates the ongoing tension that these objectives had that's resulted in frequent reviews of the program, leading to what the report terms as a constant state of flux. This can have the effect of creating uncertainty for business as well as individual visa holders. As an example, a change that has caused a lot of concern was the separation of the skilled occupation lists into two lists, the short-term and the medium and long-term list. With the occupations on the short-term list no longer having access to a pathway to permanent residence. This has made it challenging for some businesses to recruit highly skilled staff from overseas, as the ability to attract them without an ability to stay in Australia has proven very, very challenging. This issue is exacerbated by the potential for occupations to move between lists and on and off lists frequently, as much as every 6 months. This means that when we advise a job candidate of a PR pathway, we always need to qualify the advice on the basis that we cannot know whether the occupation will be on the list in 2 or 3 years' time. A second issue, which was also very clearly outlined in the report, relates back to a point I made earlier, the change in nature of skill shortages and the future of work, and another area that CEDA has made a significant contribution to. Occupations are classified into occupation shortage lists by reference to what is known as ANSCO, and that stands for the Australian and New Zealand Standard Classification of Occupations. The definition of occupations was designed primarily for statistical purposes, not for immigration purposes, and has not been updated for a number of years. In this time, as Gabby pointed out, many occupations have changed significantly. For example, think of an occupation in the mining sector. 10 years ago, perhaps the key elements of that role involved the physical extraction of a resource using hands-on machinery. Today, the same role or the same task can be performed performed remotely using quite different equipment and exhibiting a very different skill set. In addition, there are a number of new occupations which simply didn't exist at the time ANSCO was conceived or last updated. This is a significant issue which undermines the effectiveness of the skilled visa program. Take my own profession, a lawyer. I recently attended a general counsel conference in Sydney where it was predicted that the new skill set for a lawyer was actually coding skills. So an ability to understand and use the technology that now exists to automate a lot of legal work. The final point is the question of labour market testing. In a demand-driven system, which is based on regularly reviewed skilled occupation lists, the question posed by the report is whether both a skill shortage list guided by labour market analysis and labour market testing should be required. It is also counterintuitive to require a company to conduct labour market testing for intercorporate transferees or incumbents in a position. It has been challenging for us to explain to clients why they need to have why an employee that's been working for them for a number of years, why they need to advertise that position and make it available to suitably skilled Australians first, and only if no Australian is found can they rehire that person for the same position. From a practical perspective, the highly technical nature of the labour market testing requirements has imposed a significant layer of red tape on business. This has the potential to undermine Australia's global competitiveness and can result in multinational companies making the decision to take their business elsewhere, with a detrimental impact on investment and the broader economy. It'll be interesting to work through some of these issues in more detail, and with that, I'd like to invite the panel to the stage. Gabby, Paul and Chris. Thank you.